Welcome to the podcast today. Ben Everson here. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad that you've taken some time out to listen to this, and I really appreciate it. Really do. We are going through the album Acapella Hymns. This is a 2017 album, and it was my fourth all acapella album. I did acapella, then acapella anthems, and then acapella refuge, and then this is acapella hymns. And I kind of fudged a little bit on the definition of hymn because there are a few gospel songs on here that may not technically be classified as hymns, but most of them are hymns, including this one. Although some people don't think of it as a hymn, I guess. Amazing Grace. And I love to have a variety of songs style, song forms on my acapella stuff. So my favorite acapella stuff to do are the big studio acapella style, which is, you know, 30 voices, you know, 40 voices, things like that. But then I do remember my roots when I was growing up and then had time to sing in barbershop quartets and gospel quartets and things like that. And so that's what I wanted to do with this one. I wanted to kind of harken back to that and do Amazing Grace. And just it also helps, honestly, as we're in different churches, sometimes they don't know what to make of the acapella stuff. So I like to have some simpler songs that I can do that kind of introduce them to what acapella is.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Straight up quartet style. In fact, I did this straight out of my head. And like I used to do. And the strength of doing something out of your head is you don't have to spend time arranging. You can just kind of do it. The weakness is that they tend to be less structured, right? Or less polished. It's probably a better word because, I mean, obviously you're making it up out of your head. So if it's four, you know, the fewer parts that you do, the easier it is to remember the arrangement. But if you get into the habit, like if you're a barbershop quartet singer, they do something called woodshedding. And that has to do with, I mean, if you're the baritone singer, you kind of know in just about every chord where you go, where your part is. Even if you don't read music, it's something you just get to know. Same thing for the bass, tenor, and of course lead has the melody. So drawing on that kind of background, during my time singing barbershop and just singing with men's quartets and stuff. Okay, what part are you going to sing? You're going to sing tenor? Okay. Well, tenor basically is like alto, you know, and then you got lead, and then the baritone is basically what you would find on the tenor line in a hymn book, and then the bass is the bass. So, but then I think, okay, I'm going to key change on this verse, and I'm going to go to ooh here, you know, things like that. Things that four guys get together in a room before they have to sing for church or for chapel, you know, making up an arrangement, saying, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we'll go ooh, up a half step, you know, that type of thing. There's kind of an excitement to that, that we're making up this arrangement on the fly, and I wanted to kind of capture that. And so that's why this song, I make it up as I go.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already
barbershop right there.
Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Yeah, grace will lead me home. So through this arrangement, I'm just concentrating on trying to be absolutely in pitch, absolutely in tune with the other guys, and trying to form my vowels all the same way and be really well balanced. That's my focus on this one.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to
a 3-in-1, right?
And grace my fears relieved. How us did that grace appear, the hour I'd first believe.
There's just a little part in there where two guys double on one part for a couple of notes, a couple of words. And I normally don't like that. I like to either have, if you got four guys, then there should never be, you know, three guys on one part and one guy on another. It should be evenly divided all the time. I'm kind of just obsessive about that. And that's why I hate it. For those of you who are theory people, I really don't like arrangements, even though technically they're following Bach part writing. When they end a song and they've got a four-part arrangement and they end with three people on the tonic and one person on the third, that drives me insane. At least put somebody on the fifth, put two people on the tonic, one person on the fifth and one person on the third. And it drives me absolutely bonkers. Now that is, I know most of you probably couldn't care less, and that's fine. But if you're going to do four-part harmony, then make use of it. But every once in a while, even when I'm doing my own stuff, whether it's passing tones or for whatever reason, and I wanted to leave it that way. I wanted to leave it somewhat, in my mind, imperfect. Now, it's not technically imperfect. It's just not exactly the way that I would do it if it was a perfect world. But I left it in there because I wanted it to feel still spontaneous.
When we've been there 10,000 years.
Okay, so this is another example. So I wanted it to be like four guys are just getting together and singing. They don't know exactly how the other guy is going to sing it. So one guy goes, "We've been there." So one, and another guy goes, "We've been there." Right? Another guy does his vibrato different. And I did that on purpose. I wanted it to feel like there are four different guys, even though it's all me. And that's just a little detail I like to put in, even though most people probably won't notice it. Here it is again.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Making up this ending as I go.
Than when we'd first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet.
Perfect chord here, come on.
Sound.
Yes. So hopefully you could hear it through that I wanted that feeling, just, you know, four guys getting together and singing. There's little inconsistencies, but that's the way it really would be, right? And that's what I wanted for this song, because this song just, to me, actually, because I know it so well, the song can get boring. And I didn't want it to be that way. I wanted it that there to be a joy to come through, because really it expresses more than any other song. As far as in history, this one is a favorite of so many folks. And Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, right? And by the way, I can't stand it when people put it to Gillian. I'm just going to put that right now. Put it out there. I know this isn't a theology episode, but when you put Amazing Grace to the Gilligan soundtrack, to me, that is making a farce out of the words. It's total comedy. Right. And this song isn't comedy. I mean, this is a serious subject, right? It's wonderful. It's joyful. But put it to Gilligan. Give me a break. That's horrible. It's terrible. And I can't stand it. And I'll never do it. And I get irritated with people who do it. So if you're one of those people, you know, sorry, not sorry. I just think the content is sacred and Gilligan is not. Not that it's sinful, but you put those two things together. So there's my soapbox for the day. On that, thanks for joining the podcast today. If you are interested in getting this album, it is available on my website, beniverson.com. You can skip over to the store directly if you want by going to beniversonmusic.com, and it's Acapella Hymns. It's a 2017 release, and we're walking through these episodes and arrangements and recording of the tracks just to kind of get a behind the scenes look. Thanks so much for joining. Thank you for supporting the podcast. It really does help me and my family as we travel on the road, serving the Lord in music and ministry and message. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you next time.